Hello, everyone, and welcome to the All Things Military and Veteran Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Gillard, and I appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Before we get started with this week's podcast, I wanted to talk about our little group that puts this podcast on for you. We are the El Paso County, Colorado Progressive Veterans. We help vets and their family members with any of life's struggles. We know the VA bureaucracy pretty well and can help point you in the right direction there. We also have some community relationships that can help find employment and housing. Really, whatever you need, please reach out to us at info@epccpv.org. Also, please visit our website, epccpv.org, and sign up for our newsletter. The numbers are important, but we're also looking for people to help out with our new initiatives. So if you're interested, drop us a line and we'll see how we can help each other out. But for now, on with the show. Today's guest I got with me, Rob Rogers. Me and Rob used to serve a few years ago, back in the day, way back when. Rob, thanks for joining me here today. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me a little about yourself, and we'll go from there.
Hey, Robert Rogers. Still serving in the U.S. Air Force as a reservist here in Colorado Springs, author of 3 books, and entrepreneur. Happy to join you, and it's been great catching up.
You know, like you mentioned that word entrepreneur, and like when I'm going through TAPS class and things like that, they have the entrepreneur class, but I don't know if it's utilized enough. Because I think a lot of people coming out of the military don't have the mindset that they can be entrepreneurs, right? Like, where does that mindset come from you? Like, how did you get that mindset that you could be an entrepreneur?
I think I got it from, on Shark Tank, what's the guy's name? The Robert, whatever his name is. I can't remember. He's the software guy.
You probably shouldn't say it because it's probably copyright infringement or something. So,
okay.
That guy.
But he talked about finding a problem and solving it.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the military, we always see problems. Mm-hmm. So if you get after solving it, when you get out of uniform, it's a pretty natural path to becoming an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes 100% sense. Because, you know, a lot of people that I come in contact with, they just focus on the skill that they learned in the military, right?
Sure.
The crew chiefs doing their A&Ps and things like that. Like, they're used to that. You just using the tactile skills that they've learned in the military. But utilizing the mental aspect and the leadership aspect, you know, that's something that I think is underutilized by a lot of our folks coming out.
Absolutely. And if you see like a crew chief, if you see a part that can be like 3D printed, yeah, or, you know, you have a better way of doing something, right? There's a ton of programs, especially as you leave the active duty side, either as a reservist or as a civilian again, that can help you understand how to, you know, be eligible for government contracting, and who, you know, they can fund through SBA loans and stuff, like your whatever efforts that you want to take on. So like if you see an issue that you can help resolve, like there are quite a few organizations out there that can help you kind of set up the structure of becoming an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you know, between accounting and then you just doing what you know how to do, you know, you can kick off a business just on knowledge and things that you've been complaining about, you know, wanting to fix for years. Like, yeah, now you can just get after it and make some money doing it.
Yeah. When we were talking a little bit earlier, we mentioned that where like you have a good idea in the military and it takes, you know, paperwork and approvals at multiple levels just to get things done. And as an entrepreneur, you can just go ahead and push that red button, see what happens.
Yeah. And, you know, the DOD is looking to, you know, bring on a bunch of small businesses, and they have a lot of initiatives to kind of break up the conglomerate of like larger defense contractor things right now. So I think it's a pretty good opportunity if you want to get into that field. Like, there's a lot of support networks in your local area. You know, here in Colorado Springs, we have Apex downtown that can help people get registered in SAM and find business opportunities and things like that. So those exist pretty much everywhere you go, especially if you're close to a military facility. And their whole job is to help you get federal business. That's what they exist for. So
yeah,
if you have an idea, go visit one of those folks and kind of get your structure set up, and then you can go do the stuff that you enjoy doing. Just get a good CPA.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you want to stay out of jail as much as possible.
That's right.
That's funny. So, you know, other than being an entrepreneur, like what do you do in your downtime? Like, what do you do to carry your stress load, things like that? Because, you know, you're in a high stress position. You're trying to be an entrepreneur. You're trying to start these businesses. What do you do for yourself with hobbies and things like that to take care of your mental health?
Well, I don't have too much time for hobbies. Got three kids and a wife. We both run our own businesses, so we spend a lot of time doing that. But when we're not doing that, we try to travel 10% of our year. So,
do you quantify it like that?
And put, yeah, about 36 days a year is what we try to, not necessarily travel, but like get out of our regular everyday. If that's, you know, here in Colorado, going up to the mountains for a day or two, or, you know, we just did a family trip out to Vegas for a week.
Yeah.
We try to get close to, you know, 30 days of getting out of our normal routine and doing something and seeing something different every year. And that really has something, you know, to look forward to. Yeah. Which is always great. And then you can relax in those moments and kind of actually recharge versus sitting around the house looking at all the things that you still need to do, thinking about all the things that you still need to do. So we try. We don't always make it, but we try to be away from the house or travel or do something outside of our norm 10% of the year.
Yeah. A friend of mine, he always used to say, you know, whatever gets measured gets managed.
Absolutely.
So, like, but, you know, putting a quantifiable, like, this many days, like, I think that's brilliant. Like, to, you know, if it's not a priority for you, like,
it's like a tithe for your mental health, right? 10% means, you know, the same, it means tithe. So it's a tithe for your mental health and for your well-being.
That's pretty cool. You know, because like in one your first book, you kind of quantify some things too about like taking, you know, time back for yourself.
Right.
So you just kind of expand that into different different areas of your life now.
Yeah. So in the Paperback Mentor, I talk about taking back 1%, and that's where you take 1% of your time, 14.4 minutes per day, about 100.8 minutes per week, and you just do something for you. So it's just time that you set aside, whether that's taking a walk, reading a book, doing something that's literally for you. And the intent of that is to establish time for healthy habits, because whenever we're taking care of our family and trying to be a good spouse and, you know, trying to take care of our career, we don't normally leave time for ourselves. So whenever you take approximately 15 minutes a day and you just do something for you, you can kind of reset some of those habits that you got out of, you know, out of routine with. So I use mine right now to walk in the morning. Whenever I wake up, I try to get it in first thing in the morning, because if I don't later in the day, I'm pretty tired. But I've been trying to wake up, get on the treadmill for at least 15 minutes and get in some physical fitness before my day starts. That way I can do something for me, early and while I have energy.
Right. I remember when you were writing the book, you changed your habits in order to be, to me, the same thing, like, you know, to make sure that you were doing it and working early in the morning. What were your habits going into writing this book?
Oh, I'd wake up early. I didn't have any time, you know, between getting kids to school, you know, leaving the house right before 7 o'clock and then getting home, making dinner and stuff, nighttime routine. So I was waking up at 4:30 in the morning, you know, waking up for about 30 minutes, writing for anywhere between like 15 minutes to 30 minutes at a time. You just try to capture like a part of a story or write a story out real quick, and then kind of move on with my day. So I was using that 1% once again to kind of set aside some time for myself. And if you can't do it every day, right, because some days I don't get my 15 minutes in, I just try to get it in before the end of the week.
Exactly.
So like if I didn't do the writing that morning for 15 minutes, then like the next day or the following day or that weekend, I would try to set aside 30 minutes to make sure that at the end of the week, I tried to take 1% of my time and do something for me.
Yeah. And when you have those goals, like a lot of the times you sit down and then you accidentally exceed those goals, right? You know, you say, I'm just going to sit down and write for 15 minutes, but then you get on a train of thought.
Yep.
Because I do it, you know, around here on my property all the time where it's like, I just need to do a little bit, you know, and like just, well, but once you get started, it just rolls. And like pretty soon, like 3 hours go by and you're like, I guess I didn't need that nap. Okay.
Right.
You know,
or, you know, you get in the habit where it's really about just getting to the gym. Cause once you're there, like you can do, you know, half an hour worth of working out, but it's mostly about just getting there in your clothes with enough time.
Terry Crews, he had a thing about that where it's just show up. You just show up every day, you'll accidentally have some gains.
Yeah, if you
know, like make it a habit and
if you research 15 minutes a day towards whatever goal you want, or, you know, you read a book towards something for 15 minutes a day, like, you'd be amazed if you just set aside some time and you have deliberate actions towards a goal. 15 minutes will really pile up, and before you know it, like, you're actually knocking out some stuff that you didn't think you would.
Yeah. Because I read your book, Paperback Mentor, when it first came out there. And that was the one thing I took from it, was that set aside deliberate time to do it. Like, because you can sit there and say, like, oh, I will take apart, I will take, you know, 1% of my time. Because it's easy to take 15%. Absolutely, so easy.
Yeah.
But if you don't say, like, I'm going to do it first thing in the morning.
Right.
Or I'm going to do it right before lunch. Or if you don't set it, if you're not deliberate about it, you don't do it.
Yep.
And that was one of the huge things I took away from that book.
And 1% is easy, right? Give the rest of the world your 99%.
Yeah.
But, like, you deserve a little bit of your own time. Like, take 1% and do something for you.
I don't think that's out of the question to ask. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I definitely really appreciated that about your first book there. Your second book, tell me about your second book and, like, your process for going through and creating that book.
So that one's called Answers for Airmen. And really, what I found, especially during COVID, was there was all these really awesome leaders throughout the Air Force that you couldn't get any of the information, the mentorship kind of stuff from them, unless you knew them personally. So I thought, hey, what if we just kind of ask 10 main questions that kind of impact people's careers and then get 20 different perspectives on the same question, mm-hmm. right? From as a diverse group of people as I could. So I mean, from, you know, race and gender and sexual orientation and everything else in between. I tried to find the most diverse group of 20 people that I could to answer these 10 kind of fundamental career questions, and then publish it for anybody to read. So that way you can hopefully find a perspective on these questions that kind of speak to you and where you're at. Because if you don't, right, unless you know a person, a lot of the time in the military or even in your civilian business, unless you know someone, it's hard to get mentorship or insights from them.
Yeah.
So the intent was really just to try to gather insights so that way they were more available to people who don't have access to those really pretty great leaders in the Air Force.
Yeah. And how did you go about getting your, like, list of folks that you asked these questions to? Did you just reach out on, like, that Air Force Quarantine University, or just all these people you know? Or
I did, yeah. So Air Force Quarantine University and I think Leadership University as well were the two main avenues that I used during that time. Just asked, hey, like, would anybody like to respond? I have 10 questions that I want to ask. Uh-huh. Looking to gather insights, and, you know, saw who responded. And, you know, a lot of the people who responded are leaders that we know today in the Air Force as pretty prominent upfront leaders. But they all published them anonymously so they could be as candid as they needed or wanted to be about those questions and didn't have to, you know, expect any kind of blowback or retribution for how they answered them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always that PC element that real leaders know that you can't always be PC. You know, sometimes you have to say some hard truths.
Right.
And that's cool that you gave them that anonymity to be able to speak freely. Your third book, tell me about that. Like what was that one based on?
It's called 52 Professional Development Stories and Conversation Starters. Okay. It's really created more for structure than it is content. Some of the content is from either the Paperback Mentor or from Answers from Airmen. Uh-huh. But I also wrote additional stories in there as well. But it's created because I found a lot of people using the Paperback Mentor only had like a lunch and learn. They had like 15 to 20 minutes to do mentorship. And those chapters were intended to be 1% of your day. So about 15 minutes to read based off word count.
Yeah.
So I needed to kind of make it more concise. Something that you could just pick up, read a quick story, had some activities that you could take away and some questions that you could ask.
Okay.
And so it's really concise, 52 stories. You can hit one every week with a lunch and learn.
Yeah.
And that way you can have some regular material to talk over stuff with your people, have a conversation. And really try to get at the root of some of the things that we experience in our organizations. One of them is like, talks about the pace of leadership. Like if you're moving too fast or if you're moving too slow in change, or if you're at the right pace, right? And so there's an analogy that talks about, you know, a convoy traveling, and if you go too slow, what happens? And if you go too fast, what can happen? But if you travel at the right speed and communicate, then everybody can arrive at their intended destination together and do the whatever work they need to do. And then there's another one that talks about life as like software coding. So how you need to kind of evaluate your own code and, you know, push updates and stuff as you start to learn things about yourself.
Yeah, personal introspective.
Right. Ask for feedback. Right. Yeah, so, you know, learn what bugs are existing. Right. And push updates and patches for those kind of things. So, but it's really, you know, directed towards you as a person and making sure you take some of the principles of software coding and you apply them to either your personal life or your leadership style.
Yeah. That's cool, because like a lot of because, you know, me coming from the cyber world, a lot of leaders don't even have like a experience in cyber and stuff like that. So like having cyber leaders out there is kind of difficult, just because, I mean, same thing with the Intel, like people just think differently, and they're not just like go forward and do type people. They're like, well, why am I doing this? Why? And things like that. And trying to get that mindset out more, you know, like they're not just going to accept go do anymore. You know, like a lot of these kids, they're just way smarter than us and they need to know the why behind a lot of the things, you know?
And sometimes people who come up, in the STEM career fields is what I found, you know, whenever they're younger and they're doing the work, like it works out really well. But whenever they become leaders and everything needs to be quantifiable, then it can be hard whenever you're dealing with humans, because humans are different. We're not quantifiable. We have qualitative characteristics, and you have to account for that. And whenever you're trying to fit people into a metric and measure that, it just doesn't work out really well. And so it's a challenge sometimes for people, not always, but sometimes for people who have STEM backgrounds or, you know, kind of lines of thinking logically to really lead people, because people are different than math and coding and engineering principles and physics. Yeah.
There's a lot of gray when you're a leader, you know, you gotta find it.
Yes.
You gotta learn to love to operate within that gray area, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And look at every situation independently and do what's best for the member.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to keep some standard that, you know, can't always be applied all the time in every situation.
Yeah. Do you, like, when you're dealing with a situation, like, how heavily do you rely on the textbook answer versus what you've done in the past or what you've experienced in the past?
Almost everything I do is based off experience, because I've made enough mistakes that now I know.
To write a textbook.
Yeah. If you're too lenient, right, there's some problems that can come with that, and people can take advantage of you. But if you're too hard, then there's problems that come with that. Mm-hmm. So evaluating the full situation, sitting someone down, really trying to understand how whatever the issue is impacts them personally, professionally, how it impacts their home life, right? And then trying to do your best, and sometimes you still get it wrong, but do your best to make a decision that's in their best interest, but that also allows you to keep your mission going and you know, don't create animosity within your workspace. So, and really, you know, the textbook answers are great, but until you kind of filter them through a real world experience, it's really hard to just apply right off the page.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's always one of my big complaints about being a senior NCO, was that, like, they don't really train you for all the stuff that you're going to deal with.
No.
The social work, the psychological work, like just like dealing with everybody's, you know, mental, physical, wealth, well-being, stuff like that. Like there's a lot of stuff you go through, and we don't get training for that. And like, it just piles on, like never stops. Like, yeah, it's just wild to me. Like the expectations that, you know, we levy on senior NCOs.
Yeah. You have to be the technical expert, and you have to be a psychologist.
Yeah.
And you have to be everything in between. Right.
Right.
Like it's a mechanic, difficult,
like I've I fix people's cars in the parking lot.
Yeah, you got to solve people's problems on like this huge range of things, from like, you know, custody and divorce all the way through broken cars in the parking lot to, you know, picking up people in Denver because their ride couldn't come get them. Like, you got to do it all. Like, and no, there is no training for that.
Yeah. And there's no off switch.
No.
Yeah. I think that's a tough thing that a lot of people don't realize is that when we say 365, like, I know I've gotten those calls at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. All hours of the day, I've gotten phone calls from people, and they just don't train you for, like, to be able to control your own. Because, like, somebody calls you at 3 o'clock in the morning, your first reaction is, what the fuck is going on? You know? Like, your first reaction is, like, you know, anger, but you can't because then they don't call you. So, the training for that, it's experience.
And it's also important that you socialize it with your family because, you know, if your spouse isn't a military member, they don't really understand why you're having to get up at midnight and drive to Denver. Right. Like, then it's just like, or, you know, why you had to miss, you know, some important event because you had to go to a military function or you had to go help a person who was having a domestic situation, right? Like, there's some education that you even have to do whenever you have a spouse to be like, hey, sometimes I'm going to get a phone call and I have to respond. Like, these people are calling me because they trust me and they rely on me. And, you know, that could take away from our family sometimes. And that's never the intent or the desire, but that phone call is going to come and I have to respond. Like, it's my duty to that person. If I'm going to be a leader, like, I have to respond in their hour of need.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and I know that weighs on a lot of, especially like the first sergeant wives and stuff like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
First sergeants get abused out there. It's crazy. So, you know, one thing that I took away from a lot of our conversations, you know, back in the day is how much you loved like self-help books and like just constant self-improvement, right? Give me kind of your top three self-improvement books and kind of why you enjoy that book.
First one, I would say The Mission, The Men and Me by, I think, Peter Blaber, just because it's a symmetrical way of looking at leadership problems. Okay. It's entertaining. So it's a special forces group of guys, and they get after solving issues differently, and they give you a different perspective on, like, you know, things whenever you're in a fearful situation. One of them is like, the guy like got treed by a pig whenever he was on, you know, some training for the army or whatever, like all kinds of stuff. But in reality, right, it wasn't as bad as he thought it was. He created this thing. Another one, they had to slow down this convoy in a European country. They didn't know how to do it by traditional means. So one of the guys dressed up in like a Sasquatch suit because they figured it would slow down the convoy enough to be able to complete their mission, right? So things like that are like an entertaining way of getting after a problem.
Yeah.
I always like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that is outside the box
thing. It is. And it worked. And that's a funny thing. I think they said in the book that there's like, this website that tracks where all Bigfoots and Sasquatches have been spotted, and they're still in Europe, a dot basically where they completed their operation.
That's pretty cool.
another one I like Colin Powell. I think his stuff is great. It Worked For Me was a great book by him. Highly recommend anybody read that one. I think it's a great basis for leadership. It Worked For Me, I think, is the name of the book. But I think it has, you know, some of the principles of his leadership style in it.
Yeah.
And,
wasn't he the one that said, like, a good leader will be able to get people to follow just out of curiosity?
I don't remember that.
Was that one of his quotes?
I don't remember that. But he has, like, I think it's like a 12 principle, kind of layout that he has, and he always had, like, puts it under like the glass at his desk and stuff. Like, he has like some infutable kind of views of leadership, and I don't know, I thought it was really personable, relatable kind of stuff. So I liked it. Like, it felt attainable, like people could do that as a basis of leadership for a regular person. And then I'm reading Brave New Work right now, which has been a really cool book. And just talks about new ways of doing work, like Og Mandino. We talked about that. Yeah. A lot of Og Mandino books, The Choice and The Greatest Salesman in the World, and The Greatest Miracle, I think, is another one. So those are just really short books that have great stories that are just really inspirational.
Yeah. And are they books that you could, like, pick up a chapter, read a chapter, and, like, not pick it up for a bit and then come back to it? Or, because, like, so, you know, like, a lot of, like, fictional stories, like, I have a hard time putting them down and coming back to them because, like, I have to, like, be a part of the story, you know, continue the
story. Yeah, you can, well, the Og Mandino ones, you can really read in one sitting. They're really short.
Oh, really?
The other ones, yeah, you can absolutely, everything is kind of like a new idea or concept per chapter.
Yeah.
So you can definitely kind of set it down and come back at a later time and still kind of pick it up.
Yeah, that helps me out a lot because I'm all over the place with projects and things like that. You know, like,
sure.
So I see something shiny and it grabs my attention and I listen to it and then move on to the next shiny thing. And they're like, oh, yeah, what about that thing over there? So, yeah, having short reads, that'd be good. I definitely want to look out Og Mandino.
Yes. Og Mandino or something like that.
Mandino.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, I really appreciate you coming by. Rob actually showed up at my house today to do one-on-one conversation because that's what a leader does. He looks you in the eye.
That's right.
I really appreciate you coming out. I hope you write more books. Like, I always get something out of them. So keep doing what you're doing. I really appreciate what you've done for me and what you're still doing for vets. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for what you're doing for vets. It's great to see you doing work that you enjoy. And that makes a difference. So, you know, I'm inspired by what you're doing as well. So cool. Keep it up.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So now we'll just do a quick word from our sponsors.
All Things Military and Veteran is proudly sponsored by Native Roots Cannabis Company, Colorado's leading locally grown and owned dispensary chain. Native Roots has been our largest donor since we were founded 4 years ago, and we thank them for their support. They have 20 locations in Colorado, and Native Roots is ready to educate and serve adult use and medicinal patients alike. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the All Things Military and Veteran podcast. We can be found on over a dozen podcast apps, including Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. We hope you found our program rewarding and informative. Please check us out on the web at epccpv.org. And sign up for our newsletter there, and feel free to drop us a line at info@epccpv.org. Thank you for listening, and I hope you're having fun out there. Stay safe.